William Shakespeare, page 92. Life. Although Shakespeare is one of the most famous writers in the world, relatively little is known about his life. Shakespeare's birth is traditionally celebrated on the 23rd of April 1564. Born in Stratford-upon-Avon, his father was a glove maker, and his mother came from a prosperous family. He was probably educated at the local grammar school. In 1582 he married Anne Hathaway, who was 8 years older than him. Nothing is known for certain about how Shakespeare began his career as a writer and a man of the theatre, but London soon became the centre of his professional life. In 1592 he was already a well-known playwright. It was probably when the plague closed London theatres, from 1592 to 1594, that Shakespeare started to write his famous sonnets. His patron and friend was the Earl of Southampton. 1595. After the plague, Shakespeare became a leading member of the theatre company, the Lord Chamberlain's Man, later renamed the Kingsman, who he worked with for the rest of his career as actor, playwright and administrator. He later became a member of the Syndicate, or group of investors, which built the Globe Theatre. In 1616 Shakespeare died and was buried locally in Stratford Church. Literary production. In the same way we are not sure about Shakespeare's biography, we should also remember that the plays were not fixed. In his recent biography, Peter Croyd writes, "Shakespeare's plays were always in a provisional or fluid shape. We may fairly assume that each play was slightly different at every performance." As a poet, Shakespeare wrote a collection of 154 sonnets and 2 long poems. As a playwright, he wrote 37 plays, which were popular with both well-read and unread audiences alike. Shakespeare's sonnets. Shakespeare probably wrote his sonnets in the 1590s, although they were only published some years later, in 1609. They all used the Elizabethan form, 3 quatrains and the final couplet rhyming ABAB, CDCD, EF, EF, GG. Most of Shakespeare's sonnets speak about the themes of love and time, suggesting that love outlasts time and, of course, poetry outlasts both. Other themes include beauty, death, friendship, the power of the beloved and the suffering of the lover. These are typical of the sonnets of the time, but Shakespeare's images have a unique complexity and energy. The first 126 sonnets are supposedly addressed to a young man, probably a young aristocrat who was also Shakespeare's patron, while the others are addressed to a mysterious dark lady. Sonnets to the Young Man. The sonnets to the young man form one of the most impressive and complex explorations of the themes of platonic love in English poetry. From one sonnet to another, we see how the relationship changes as Shakespeare explores all the different sentiments the young man inspires in him. These range from fascination with the man's girl-like beauty, to his suffering at the man's indifference to him, to his sadness at growing old, and the fact that the young man's youth will also fade. Moreover, Shakespeare frequently returns to the conflict between the beauty of what his eyes see and the truth of what his heart knows, concluding that appearances are often deceptive. In his sonnets, Shakespeare also wishes to preserve the eternal part of the young man's beauty against the effects of time. Love is judged to be stronger than time, but poetry is considered immortal, the indestructible container of an eternal memory. It will triumph over time. It is through these poems that this young man's beauty will be preserved forever. In fact, many of Shakespeare's sonnets to the young man repeat this idea of poetry's capacity to immortalize. What they do not say, however, is that in the end it's Shakespeare himself, the writer, rather than the young man, who will be immortalized by them. Sonnet 18, 1609. A typical convention of Renaissance poems which address the transience of youth and beauty is to compare these qualities with aspects of nature. In Sonnet 18, The poet begins by considering what metaphorical comparison would best reflect and at the same time preserve the image of the young man. His first idea is to compare him to a summer's day, because the man's youth is similar to nature in full bloom. But summer, he knows, especially in England, is often short and the weather is changeable. One minute it's too hot, the next the sun has disappeared and is turned cold again. This unpredictable alternation between good and bad weather, typical of English summers, doesn't convey the sense of balance and harmony the poet sees in the young man's beauty. Thou art more lovely and more temperate. However, it's also true that, like a real summer, the young man's youth will not last long. In fact, it's not in nature, but only in art, that the poet will be able to preserve the idea of youth, the imagined perfect day of the young man's eternal summer. The momentary feeling we may have sometimes that our youth will last forever. This marks the turning point of the sonnet. In the world of the poem, the young man's beauty will never fade or die, but will go on growing in the minds of readers for centuries to come.